Good morning. Oh, got one more? Okay. Well, I'm just starting out. I greet you here in the name of Jesus, our risen Lord, on this fifth Sunday after the Epiphany. Talked to Julia yesterday, and she's doing great. Her dad's home, and so we're grateful that he seems to be healing fine. Of course, they will be following up on his the results of his surgery and where they go from here. But she's at this time having a good visit. So, and well, we'll be thinking of her today. So she's asked me to fill in for today and for next week. So you're stuck with me for the next couple of weeks, I'm sorry to say. Now, the United Methodist authorities here in our conference ask that churches this Sunday forgo communion because of the Omicron variant out there that is so doggone contagious that congregations which are still meeting for live worship minimize chances of any kind of spread by not handing out the communion elements and having people come together closely like that. So, which means that while we're here all together, except for me who can't use the mask right now, we're asking that everybody else remain masked. And of course, after the service, to exit the sanctuary by the side door if possible. And if you want to visit, I encourage you to visit outdoors. Okay? All right. So, well, any other things for the good of the order before we begin today? We'll have an announcement time later, but anything we need to know? A celebration somebody's having? A birthday? Anything? Okay. Winona's birthday's this week. And she made a wise choice not to show up here this morning, I guess. We'll get her. Okay, we'll get her maybe next week. Okay. Well, for purposes of multimedia, we are not live streaming this event. We're not recording it on video. Lynn is recording the message. So, yeah. And if you need to wear the hearing device to be able to hear me more clearly, she's got the equipment back there. Just stick up your hand and she'll be glad to get it for you. Okay? All right. Well, I'm already behind the eight ball here. Let's let's just take the next few moments as Robin and Lorraine share some special music. Holy, holy, holy. Thank you. Let us join together in our call to worship. People of God, the Lord is merciful. People of God, the Lord is good. People of God, the Lord is love. People of God, the Lord is faithful. People of God, the Lord is righteous. Let's be in prayer. God, it is so good to gather together as your people, especially in these circumstances, which we have been facing now for nearly 2 years. So we ask as we come together that your presence would be apparent to everyone, that your spirit would be speaking to our hearts and our minds, and that, O Lord, we may all worship you and give praise to you in our hearts, even though we are not able to sing. Bless our gathering. We thank you for your constant love and presence in Jesus' name. Amen. Our scripture reading this morning is from the book of Luke, chapter 5, 1 through 11. And those of you who know your Bible know that this is the story of Jesus calling the first disciples, Peter, James, and John. One day as Jesus was standing by the lake of Gennesaret, the people were crowding around him and listening to the word of God. He saw at the water's edge two boats left there by the fishermen who were washing their nets. He got into one of the boats, the one belonging to Simon, and asked him to put out a little from shore. Then he sat down and taught the people from the boat. When he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, "Put out into deep water and let down the nets for a catch." Simon answered, "Master, we've worked hard all night and haven't caught anything. But because you say so, I will let down the nets." So when they had done so, they caught such a large number of fish that their nets began to break. So they signaled their partners in the other boat to come and help them, and they came and filled both boats so full that they began to sink. When Simon Peter saw this, he fell at Jesus' knees and said, "Go away from me, Lord. I'm a sinful man." For he and all his companions were astonished at the catch of fish they had taken. And so were James and John, the sons of Zebedee, Simon's partners. Then Jesus said to Simon, "Don't be afraid. From now on, you will fish for people." So they pulled their boats up on shore, left everything, and followed him. The word of God for the people of God. This stuff works. Julia seems to be a technical wizard when it comes to this stuff, and I don't do this often enough to feel comfortable with it. Jan has a Delft blue tile refrigerator magnet in our house that has that wonderful blue and white appearance, and it says, "Living with a Dutchman builds character." That's me. We tend to be stubborn and hard to move. No doubt you've heard the old saying, "God made the earth, but the Dutch made Holland." You know, and who else could it be that would take land that was a salt marsh and then set up a series of dikes and piece by piece reclaim that sea land into make it into fertile farmland? and then to maintain it for centuries and build all those windmills to keep pumping the water out, which are there now for appearances only. But you get the idea. The Dutch are stubborn, hard to move. Well, just because the Dutch are hard to move doesn't mean that they don't. My mom and dad came to the United States in 1949 to start a new life. My dad had been able to start his own little business right after the war ended. He was fortunate to have some resources to begin with before they were confiscated because the government revalued the currency. Everybody started out with 1,000 guilders. And other money that they had was worthless. So anyway, my dad had a tidy little business before they decided to come over here. And people back home said that, "You're nuts. Why are you leaving? You have something going on here." And but my dad and my mom felt that there were better opportunities here. So they came to Seattle with $10 in their pockets. And they joined his two sisters that had preceded them. And that's why I'm here. Because a stubborn Dutchman decided to move. You know who else are stubborn? Fishermen. Do you know a real fisherman? Somebody that even does this for a living? Yeah, I do. Young man named Patrick that I got to know at another congregation. Patrick was working as a carpenter, but in his heart, he was a fisherman. Every time he would talk about his fishing days, he'd get this faraway look in his eyes. You know, a dreamlike state. He had a house that looked out over Puget Sound. And for any small boat that went by, he'd go grab his field glasses to see which boat that was. He talked about how he got started fishing from shore netting in Alaska. And then he had his own fishing boat before it burned and sank. And then he thought there was an easier way to make a living fishing. So he bought a boat tender to ferry the catches back and forth to the canneries and to the processing plants. And doggone if that boat didn't catch fire and sink. And to to pay the bills, he was working as a carpenter, framing a house for people. And, you know, he would rather be fishing, he told me, but he still had to pay bills. And fishing wasn't paying the bills for him at that time. Now, from the accounts in the Gospels, the fishermen Simon Peter and James and John were paying the bills. Now, we don't know how Peter got into fishing, but we do know that James and John were born into it. It was in their blood. They were in business with their dad Zebedee. And which makes you wonder, when we consider this story, which is the bigger miracle? I know that the bulletin cover says the miraculous catch of fish, and indeed, that was. But isn't the bigger miracle? Could it be that it was actually these fishermen leaving everything behind and following after Jesus? Let's look at the story. Now, early in the morning, Jesus had come to Capernaum preaching the good news and healing everybody who came to see him. He went and stayed at the house of Simon, who was later named Peter. And while he was there, he healed his mother-in-law from a high fever. And then she immediately got up and started helping, you know, the people that had gathered at the house. Jesus healed everyone that came to Peter's house that evening. In the morning, Jesus told the people that he needed to go to the other villages nearby to preach the word, to bring the good news. And so he went from place to place in the Galilee, preaching, teaching, and healing as he went. And so it was that one morning, He was on the shore of the Sea of Galilee, and a crowd pressed in around him so closely that he needed some way to find a way to be able to speak to them all, see them all. So Simon was there with his boat. Jesus asked if he could get in there and if Simon would put out just a little ways so Jesus could sit there in the boat and teach the people from there. Now, afterwards, Jesus told Simon, put out into the deep water and let down your nets for a catch. And Simon decided to humor him. You could have heard it in the intonation, you know, inflection of my voice when he said, Master, we have fished all night and have caught nothing. But if you say so, I will let down the net. So you can almost hear his slots at this time, can't you? Who in the heck is this landlubber telling me how to fish? We know there's nothing out there this time of day, but since he's a good man, maybe it wouldn't hurt to humble him a little bit. But who really is humbled? Peter and James and John. The catch was so big that it required Peter to call out to James and John, his partners, to come out and help him. And the nets were bulging with fish so much that as they strained to pull them into the boat, the nets began breaking. And then the boat started to take on water because the catch of fish was so great. And all their years of fishing, no one had ever seen such a catch there in Galilee. And so then we have this incredible moment, custom made for Steven Spielberg. Think about it. I mean, just visualize this. Imagine these four guys standing in the two boatloads of fish flopping around, the nets starting to tear, water starting to come over the sides, straining with all their might, astonishment written on their faces. And then Peter falls down on his knees in front of Jesus there in the water and the fish and the nets and says, go away from me, Lord, for I'm a sinful man. Can you just picture that? Peter had meant to humble the teacher by demonstrating to him that there were no fish out in the lake at this time of day in that depth of water, but he ended up being the one who was humbled. But Jesus loved him. So he said, do not be afraid. From now on, you'll be catching people. So, you know, the two boats get back to shore with the catch. And, the amount of fish that they brought in was so great, it would probably represented weeks and weeks of hard work. But they got it all in one catch. But even so, with a stupendous catch of fish and their boats and their nets and even James and John's dad Zebedee sitting in the boat, those men left everything and followed after Jesus. You know, God calls common, ordinary people like you and me every day to serve him. Thank you. And do his work in the world, including fishermen. And believe it or not, there are only a few major qualities God is looking for in the people that he's called to serve him in this world. Okay? One is humility. That we are honest about our faults and failings. And the other is a willingness to serve. And of course, as the Apostle Paul says, the greatest of these is love. So, humility, willingness to serve, and love. And that's about it. It's simple, humble people in churches, and you know this very well, it's people like us that make churches go. We're the ones putting out the essentials cart every day. You know, we're the ones who are contributing to that. We're the ones who are calling people and wishing them well, checking up on their welfare. We're the ones who pitch in whenever there's a need. You know, the church doesn't move without the people. And that's how God gets things done. And consider what a cast of characters we are. You know, we all have a skeleton or two hiding in a closet, don't we? Yes, we do. We all have an Achilles heel, a weak point that gets in the way of us fully being the person God has called us to be. But the remarkable thing that we have all found is that Jesus still loves us for who we are. And he is counting on us to get his work done in the world because he's got nobody else to get it done. People like us. Now, one of my imperfections is a cautious skepticism about just about everything. You know, if I have to make a decision, I look at the problem from one side and the other. I take a long time to make up my mind, but I eventually do. And then make it even worse, I often second guess myself afterwards. You know that Jack Benny routine when he says that he was walking down the street and a guy steps out of the alley flashing a gun and says, "Hey, bud, your money or your life?" Jack Benny stands there and doesn't say anything. And the mugger says, "Well?" And Jack says, "I'm thinking about it." That's me. But the Gospels show that the apostles were also far from perfect. They were honest about their failings. That's what is so refreshing about reading the Gospels. They were blunt about the things that they did wrong. Sometimes they didn't understand Jesus. They had a hard time doing what he asked them to do. They quarreled among themselves. They all deserted Jesus the day that he was betrayed and then killed by the authorities. They were afraid for their life afterwards, were hiding in a room to stay out of trouble. And they didn't believe on Easter morning that Jesus had risen from the dead, even though the women told them plainly what they had experienced. They didn't believe until Jesus himself appeared in their midst in the room in which they were hiding. But as fragile and human and frail as they were also mighty witnesses to God's love and grace in the resurrected Christ. Amen? Amen. Now, what is so striking about the story of the supernatural catch of fish is the even more incredible miracle of the three fishermen who were willing to follow Jesus. Why is this story in the Gospels? Because for a skeptic like me, it always raises the first objection. How could you do that? Why did you do that? You know, we all need this story because we are all resistant to change. You know, we prefer the known to the unknown, even when our lives really aren't very good. It's still that known routine we would follow rather than something that we don't know what's going to happen. But that's who people are. And Jesus calls each and every one of us to leave our comfortable little worlds behind and become his disciples for the transformation of the world. So we probably don't make instantaneous decisions like those fishermen, but you got to remember about just what kind of event this was. A stupendous catch of fish, which is a miracle in himself. And then being in the presence of the Lord himself. That was enough to make these stubborn fishermen decide to leave everything. But for most of us, I know that it may take us days or months or even years to take that leap of faith that eventually is called for in each one of us. Each one of us at one time has to step out with no safety nets. It can be a moment, though, that we can point to where, like in the song, we remember the time when we have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back. No turning back. Just don't wait too long. When God lays something on our hearts, we need to do it as soon as we can. You know, those fishermen knew that Jesus' invitation was probably a one-time deal. They had to do it then. But after such a miracle of fish, how could they refuse? Did they really have anything better waiting for them? No, of course not. Now, one of our other lectionary texts for today is the calling of Isaiah the prophet. Do you remember this from Isaiah chapter 6? In the year that King Uzziah died, Isaiah is in the temple, and then he sees the Lord high and lifted up, and the hem of his robe filled the temple. And there were four living creatures, angels with six wings, flying around the Lord, flying back and forth and calling to each other, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty." Now, when Isaiah saw this, he was, of course, overwhelmed, but all too aware of his faults and failings. He said, "Woe am I! I am lost, for I am a man of unclean lips, and I live among a people of unclean lips. And yet my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of glory, the Lord of hosts." And God heard that confession and purged Isaiah's sin by sending an angel bearing a coal from the altar and putting it on his lips and saying, "Now that this has touched your lips, your guilt has departed and your sin is blotted out." So when the Lord called out, "Whom shall I send and who will go for us?" Isaiah said, "Here I am. Send me." Now, when we hear the voice of Jesus speaking in our hearts, asking us to come and follow and serve him through serving others in some way that we have never done before, even though we are all too aware of our faults and failings, may God give us all grace to say, "Yes, yes, Lord, I know you love me. Here I am. Send me." Let us pray. We are aware, God, of just all the many second chances, third chances, fourth chances, fifth chances you give us to do that which you have called us to do. Give us, each one of us, a heart that is honest about our failings, is willing to serve you however we can, and a heart that is open to love the people that you have brought into our lives or the people that you have sent us to share your love and grace with. You depend every day upon us poor, ordinary folks to go out and do your work for your kingdom in this world. May we all reply, "Here I am, Lord. Send me." We ask this in Christ's name. Amen. And we have some special music. I hope you know this song. Here I Am, Lord. Whom can we lift up in prayer this morning? That's Christy. Name of Ray?
No, Larry.
Larry. Okay. Larry. Okay. Whom else? Yes.
I just want to ask prayers for Bob Berkeley. He is still waiting to have some tests made. As you know, it's kind of difficult to get medication at this time.
Yes. There's quite a lot of people in Bob's situation. Okay. So prayers for him. Yes.
Our grandson Martin and his girlfriend Sarah both have COVID.
Oh.
And they have been, Martin has been vaccinated. I don't know about Sarah, but so.
Prayers for them.
Prayers for them.
Yeah.
And she has a little boy that's two. And so that,
yeah.
That is a complication for her.
That's right. That's right. So prayers for your son. Grandson and
Sarah.
Okay, Martin and Sarah. And little Sam. Okay. Okay. Anyone else? Yes.
My son Kevin, he was exposed to a positive COVID person.
Another COVID exposure.
So he's been isolating this weekend. From his wife and two girls.
Yeah. Okay. Any others? No. Haven't you all thought about that? What happens if someone in my family gets it or is exposed to it and they have to isolate? You know, what are you going to do? It's such a difficult thing for so many people. And, you know, all those considerations of children and of co-workers and, of course, you know, missing work. And just the very scary thing about this virus that can be deadly. So, yeah, prayers for all those people. And, of course, for Larry and for Bob. Let's be in prayer. Lord, every day there are challenges to our faith. When we are confronted with some sad realities of life, of illness, of uncertainty, of loss. So we pray, O Lord, in these times for these that we have lifted before you and for all the many, many people that we may know or that we don't know. But for all for those that during especially this time, that you would continue to be a steady presence in our lives, to give us strength, to give us perseverance, to help us, O God, to continue the best we can. O Lord, when we can't do what we do, then help us to do what we can. We pray, O God, for this troubled world. Our attentions are dominated by the situation in Eastern Europe, in the Ukraine. Our hearts are filled with concern and anxiety when we think about that piece of the world. And also our part of the world with things going on here at home and the division that we experience. And in the midst of this, oh God, are these Olympic Games going on where people from all over the world come together to compete in peace. And yet it is a strain on all of them too. So, oh God, send your spirit among all mankind. Thank you for your gracious invitation that is never failing. Help us to reach out, to take your hand, to find our rest and our peace in you. Give us, O God, a spirit of imagination. And this willing spirit, O God, to do the best we can. Thank you. We ask these things and the things in our hearts that you know about, that we really don't want to talk about, that we ask these things in the name of Jesus who taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Well, we have a few announcements today. Jeanette. Okay. Okay, so you are invited to the UMW meeting here at the church, Tuesday at 11. Okay. Is the covenant group still meeting? Oh. Okay, they won't be meeting this week. I saw it on the church calendar, but that's before you knew this. Okay. The single board meeting that we usually have on the first Tuesday is canceled. We'll have a meeting in March when Julia is back. Okay. Threadbearers on Wednesday. And of course, the book study that we have going right now. And the name of that book escapes me. What is it? Okay, Longing for Spring. That is postponed until the 23rd of February. In spring, yeah. Okay, you know, next Sunday will mark 2 months that we have had snow on the ground here in Wenatchee. Is that's pretty amazing. That's pretty amazing. Now, of course, I'll be here speaking next Sunday as well, and I am available for pastoral emergencies. Just you can call me, or because my name, you know, my phone number is in the church directory, but you can also call Joanne and she can pass the message on to me. All right. Anything else for the good of the order today? Of course, we all invite you to the time of fellowship at 11 o'clock, and Jeanette's facilitating that, right? Okay. May the love of God and the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the presence of the Holy Spirit be with you all now. Go now in peace. Thank you.
Thank you.